מועדים לשמחה, today is daf, is daf kuf kimo, mesechet bava kama, ninth perek, hagozel etzim, and we are holding in the middle of the sugya, which introduced to us the shita of Bnei Ma'arava, who laughed at Rabbi Yochanan, and who claimed that unless we know, at the time of a sale, the person who is selling knows to whom he's selling, then he's automatically selling to the person that he's talking to. According to that, unless that person was acting as an agent and was therefore kiyad ba'al habayit, it was an extension, mamish, of the ba'al habayit, we would have a problem in relating the ownership of the item to the person to whom it was given. Therefore, they were laughing at Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan claimed, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, that in a case where someone was mishanet and they bought the wrong, or by extension, from the case of the mission, the case of a business deal where someone was mishane, that the halacha is that if he made profit, that the profit would be split to the guy who had given him the money. But if we're saying that the sale was never made to the person who gave the money, how in the world would he have a right to split the profits? Now, the alternative approach we had yesterday was the approach of Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, he said that the person who sells always sells, by definition, to the man who's got the buck. And he couldn't care less about the man that's standing in front of him. Yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing various cases to see whether it would be consistent with the Bnei Ma'arava's approach or with the approach of Reb Shmuel, who was trying to explain how it was that Reb Yochanan was learning. So again, we have two separate possibilities when it comes to a sale. Either a person is by definition selling to the man who owns the money that's being given to him, or a person sells to the person that's representing that money, so that in a case where he's an actual representative and was not mishana midait or shlichusik avid, he's kiyad ba'al habayit. But if he was mishana, that would create problem, because then he wasn't shlichutik avid, which led to the Bnei Ma'arava rejecting Rabbi Yochanan's pshat. Today we want to see whether there might be others who buy into the pshat of the Bnei Ma'arava. And so we get to a case, we're now on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, right about the two lines above the middle, where Rav Kahana, Yoyiv Zuza Akitna. Now, Rav Kahana invested. Now, here we have a different type of investment. We have long and short sales, actually, on a commodity market. So what happens over here is a little bit of a problem. It appears to be a problem of repeat. Let's say that somebody buys commodities, and he's betting on the market going up. So in other words, he wants to buy now cheap, and he wants to be able to turn it around and sell it more expensively. He doesn't take delivery, which is basically what we do today in the commodities market. So we'll buy, and then we can expect to be able to take delivery all year long at that price, even if it would be double, triple the price, and simply turn it around and sell it and never even bother taking delivery of it, which is a standard commodity market. So now what happened is that Rav Kahana indeed invested in the linen market. Now, the Gemara at this point held, and we'll see that it wasn't the case, it was a standard commodity investment. The Gemara in this case held that he had actually taken delivery of the kitna being linen, not to be confused with cotton, okay? And he, in other words, he picked it up to make a kinyan, but he left it in the warehouse of the seller. So now what happened was, after paying for it, the price of linen went up, and Zavna Marvita de Kitna, the one who was warehousing it, again, according to this level of shot, the Gemara sold it at the higher price. He doubled Rav Kahana's money. So until the Kami de Rav, Rav Kahana was concerned that maybe there would be a problem of rebate over here, because he had given four and taken eight, let's say, right? So he comes to Rav, and he says to him, my Avid, what should I do? Shall I go and take my money or not? Well, depends. If at the time that the guy sold your pishta, he said that he's selling Kahana's pishta, Rav Kahana's pishta. So he said, hi, kitna de Kahana, well, fine. So then he sold your pishta, there's no problem. You could take the extra money. But, Elo, if he didn't say that, so then basically what's happening is that he sold his own pishta. He didn't sell your pishta. Now, in return for, let's say, the $4 per roll of pishtan, that per ton of pishtan that you gave him, in return for having your money, he's giving you back double the money, which is a ribbit situation. So it really looks bad. And therefore, lotishka. Now, what is the logic in that? I mean, is Rav basically saying, kiman, kivnei ma'arav? I mean, is the excuse for this psak that since the Bnei Ra'a Ma'arava hold that when somebody gives money for something, they're always giving it to the representatives. In this case, they thought they were, for all intents and purposes, paying the broker. Now the broker is turning around, and after stealing Rav Kahana's pishtan and using it, he's going to give him the money, right? And therefore, so Rav says, well, you know, it depends. If they bought your pishtan, fine. But if they bought the other guy's pishtan, that's what the Bnei Ra'ava said. If you didn't tell him who he's giving the money for, so then he's not going to be giving it to you. So then that would mean he never gave it to you, Rav Kahana, so you can't take the money. So that's what you're saying? Why in the world would even that help Rav for this ridiculous psak? I mean, it makes no sense at all. I understand. Rav Kahana paid 4 per ton, it took 8 per ton. I mean, if that's the case, what happened over here, he wasn't going to take any money. He went ahead and bought pishtan. Now, the price of pishtan has gone up. So what are you saying? You're saying, well, but this guy didn't say that it was... Okay, he didn't say. So what's the deal? He stole it. In other words, you're saying, technically speaking, the broker took Rav Kahana's pishtan, stole the pishtan, sold it, and now he's coming to pay Rav Kahana back for the pishtan that he stole. Thank you very much. How much is the pishtan that he stole worth? Whatever he got for it. So pay Rav Kahana. You're always Mishalev Gishatak Zela anyway. I don't understand. How would it help you? Mamanushav. Even if you hold it to Bnei Ma'arava, let's say you were Modiahim. God, say you were Modiahim, so then he sold your pishtan. Let's say you weren't Modiahim, so then you stole his pishtan as the broker. Now you have to pay him back for the pishtan you stole. It equals exactly the same amount of money. So what possible dafkamina could it make? What, that Rav should say, it depends. If you told him, it's one thing. If you didn't tell him, it's another thing. If you didn't tell him, it's just gazela. So Migzogazula. So what's the problem? So you're saying the price of pishtan went up. Okay, so now the broker, technically speaking, is a gazela. Fine. So Vitzlan, the Mishnah says, Kol HaGazalim, Shamim Kishata Gezela. So what's the issue over here? Rav's Pesach makes no sense. But even if you want to buy in to the Bnei Ma'arav, it makes no sense. Says the Gemara, no, the case actually is not what you're saying. It was a commodity trade, which is called an amanah. Amanah means you invest in the market, and you make a deal that you're going to take delivery of 4,000 tons of pishtan sometime or another, not today, maybe not next year, but whatever. You're going to take the... In other words, again, theoretically, that's what happens in the modern commodity market. If you don't sell out, they actually will deliver the pishtan to your friend, the pork bellies or whatever it is, to your front door. Okay? So now, you go ahead, and it was an amanah. Amanah means that the guy that you bought from, he doesn't own any pishtan. As the commodity market, never. Anybody that you buy from doesn't own anything. The whole thing is theoretical. The point is that you could get pishtan if you want. So now you're betting, the seller, you're betting that the market for pishtan is going to fall, right? So you're convinced you're going to be making money on this deal. The buyer is convinced the market for pishtan is going up. Classic modern situation. He's willing to pay you now for 1,000 tons of pishtan. Okay, so you're saying, oh, but I mean, Lamaisa, we're playing a game over here is with interest. Because this guy's willing to take that chance because you're giving him the money. And he is figuring to make money, but he may lose money and have to pay you double the money, let's say, right? So then you're making a lot of interest. No, not true. Because the truth is, since right now the price of pishtan is posted, and that's why you're buying into a market, right? So if this guy really wanted to, he could take the money, walk over to the nearest real pishtan seller, buy the pishtan, and deliver it to you. So that's not the issue. There's no real chance. Now the question is, he didn't want to do that. Okay. That's not my problem. That's his problem. I mean, I paid for pishtan at the market value. Don't tell me that I'm taking rebate from anybody. He could have bought that pishtan. He didn't. I don't know whether he did or he didn't. I really don't care. Maybe he stored it. I have no idea. It makes no difference to me. So therefore, the case over here was a case of amanah. There was no mishicha because there was no pishtan. Again, these are all abstractions. Nothing happened. It was an abstract deal, just as on the modern market. So lo mashke Rav Kahana l'kitna. So what's the problem? So then it's a classic market turnaround. Ah, Rav's shita is that when you deal in a commodity market, you cannot take cash in return. Because even though it's true, you could take delivery of the pishtan and then sell it. So let's say the price of pishtan doubles 3 months from now. Take the pishtan. Now you want to sell it. Sell the pishtan. Now you've doubled your money. But if the entire thing remains completely abstract, and there never is possession of the pishtan, then it becomes a derivative. It doesn't exist. And for all intents and purposes, you're playing a game of rebate. That's what you're doing. Nobody intends to buy pishtan. Nobody's interested in pishtan. You're putting in bets. That's all you're doing. There's no real business going on. And when you don't have a real business, what you have is a mirzik, a rebate. And that's exactly what goes on, of course, in the modern market. Nobody's interested in pork bellies, I guarantee you. The only question is, what are you going to be making money on it? That's all. So in that case, you're really investing for rebit. The whole market exists for rebit. That's what it boils down to. Not really. I mean, it's not really rebit. But since there's no real business being conducted, it looks like rebit. And therefore, Rav ushered it. Making money from money when there's never an intent to deal with an actual commodity is a game. And as a game, it boils down to rebit.
So you could even extend to the stock market with
dividends paid. Enough for sure.
All right. It's like buying and selling money, extensively.
Correct. That's what Rav is saying. That's what it boils down to. The fact that you theoretically pegged it to a market of a commodity is just a way of playing the game. You might as well have pegged it to the Dow Jones index. I mean, that's also a game. So Lemais is just a nice way to talk about gambling. Okay, so in this case, he's paying you money for the fact that you gave him money. Let him keep the money by him. He's hoping that he'll even make money off the deal. But if not, meanwhile, he'll have the use of the money. Okay, brilliant. I'm telling you, it's just amazing. Every possible combination, insight into the way things really work. There it is in the Gemara. You came just in time, dear President, to give us a grand and rousing...
Doctor and the Commissioner.
The Mishnah begins by talking about a continued issue. Which, of course, we've been dealing with the Chiyuv of Hashava. Ke'en Shegazal, if it's not Ke'en Shegazal... But there's a whole different issue when it comes to stealing, and that is the issue of kapara. Now, interestingly enough, there's two different ideas that are involved over here. A guy can desire to have kapara, and we've spoken about before, the issue of kapara is to remove the impact of the chet. Now, the chiyav of hashava is not the same as the chiyav of getting kapara, but the one place where the Torah deals with the issue separately is, interestingly enough, in terms of money. Now, you'll remember that there's two completely separate parshias of someone who is Nishbal Kfirat Mamon, in which the Torah reintroduces, in Parshat Naso, the idea of a shvua on money that you owed, where you claimed you didn't owe it, and there is where we learn all the dinim of tshuva. So there the Torah starts talking about, there in Vayikra, the Torah starts talking about what happens when a guy was kafir on a pikadon or on gezela or a tsumet yad, we'll go to the various cases, or a halva'ah, and he claims that he doesn't owe any money. Now over there, there's a very special chiyuv, which is that when he's moida, and that moida is vidui, and that's where we learn out the chiyuv d'oraisa of vidui from that particular case of a kofer bepikadon v'nishpa, and now he's hoida. So he needs to say vidui. He needs to pay the money back. But over there, the Torah is very makbid about how the money is paid back. He has to give it back. It stresses again, la asher lo. So it doesn't help over there, the various types of hashava that might be sufficient to be mekayim the mitzvah of a heshiv at hagzela is not necessarily the same hashava that allows a person to get kapara, where he has to make certain that all the elements of the chet are addressed. Furthermore, he has to, pay an additional knas in order to be mechapara on himself, which is the extra chomesh. Obviously, it's not a knas, technically, because otherwise he'd be potter if he's made over here. It's only chayav if he's made. It's a kapara. And he has to bring a korban osham. And only in those circumstances, is he chayav the osham, is he chayav the chomesh, which is really 25%, 20% of the total, including itself. And then, so then he gets a kapara after he brings that korban. Now, if that's the case, the question would be, this Mishnah comes to address what the level of hashava is for kapara. For Stam Gezela, for a Gezela where he was Nishba, or a Gezela where he was Meida, or for Gezelais where the Hashava, and remember that we've discussed various takonas that Chazal made to make Hashava easier, why for Tshuva, takonas Hashava? How about cases of Hashava where it will cost you, other examples, more to return the Gezela than the Gezela is worth? So we have the dinyan of the Takonas Morish, which was the classic Takonas Hashavim. Don't tear your whole house down to give you back a Korah. You give back the money. How about where it will cost you more money to get the money to him because of the FedEx process? Then, I mean, you're going to send a dollar by FedEx. It's going to cost you $100 to send the dollar. But the question is, how do you get the money to him? So this is now what one of the issues the Mishnah wants to discuss, among other problems, where you've got issues with Hashava, to see the nafkamina between Hashava as far as the chiyev of Eshev is Agzela, and Hashava as far as the issues of being Yotzi Yidei Shamayim to be able to be Mekabel Kapara. So it goes to that Chavero, Shava Pruta V'Nishbalo. Somebody who steals a Shava Pruta, but he's made it that he swore B'Sheker. Now it's not enough for him to return it in a way that he could return it as far as Stam Hashava Sagzela. In this case, Yolichinu Acharav Afilu L'Madai. He would have to go all the way to Madai as far as we're concerned, even that, though that will cost him more than the Pruta that he stole. It's interesting that Madai represents, according to some, it's very cute, Madai represents the USA, where money ain't worth anything. Lo nechshav l'klum. It's a kesev in Madai. Lo nechshav l'klum. It isn't anything. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, what does the guy care? I stole $100 for him. I mean, $100 he blows on a cup of coffee at Starbucks. What am I going to go schlep now to New York and get him the money back? No, I feel the Madai. You're going to have to schlep back. It has nothing to do with what the guy is thinking. It has to do with your need to attain kapara. And lo yitain, lo livnova, lo lishlucho, you cannot give it to the guy's son to, where he's alive, to bring it back to him. If he's not alive, then the heir indeed is the address to return it to directly. But even though the son says, I'm going home, I'll bring it to dad, you can't give it to him, because over there, if something happens on the way, you're going to be chayev still. You may not even know. So that's not enough of a hashava. You can't even give it to his shliach, we'll see why not. You can, however, give it to a shliach beit din. Now, Rashi learns that this ability to give it to a shliach beit din is a special takanas hashav. And we're going to see in the Gemara discussion of takanas hashav that would be sufficient, that if it's going to cost you more in order to allow people to return, they're going to think, I'm going to pay $200 to pay back one penny is a little bit nuts. So they're not going to do it. Therefore, they made a takana to give it back to the Shliach Beis Din. Tosfos holds that that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Because as we'll see in the Gemara introduces this as a later takana. It doesn't bring a raya from the Mishnah. And here the Mishnah seems to be assuming that the Gemara never brings a raya from the Mishnah that such a takana exists. Therefore, even though Rashi is learning that you can give it to a Shliach Beis Din, and that's sufficient. And that's the Hashava. Now, if the person ever shows up, the Beis Din will give it to him. But the return to the Beis Din is sufficient. That is indeed possible in terms of a later Takanas Hashava. It's not what the Mishnah is talking about over here. What we're talking about over here is that you can, this is not a Shliach to hold it. This is a Shliach that will actually bring it, it's talking about. And all that it's referring to over here is the Achrayut. If you give it to a non-Shliach Beis Din, so then it's no good, because if something happens on the way, you're going to be responsible. The takona over here is giving it to Beit Din that for achrayut, for mugging or whatever happens along the road, you get insurance when you give it a shliach Beit Din, because the Beit Din takes responsibility, and therefore you can get a kapora, and now you can bring your asham. If you haven't done the hashava properly, you can't bring your korban asham. So it's a different issue here. The mate, now if the victim of the gezela died in between, then yarzir liyorshav. You give it to the yorish, and that means that you'd have to give it back all the way to Madai too, but to the yorish this time. Then there would be the same halach of chomesh v'asham to a yorish, not only to the guy himself. Now suppose natanu et hakeren v'lo natanu et hachomesh. You did give back what you stole, but the Torah said that you have to give back an additional chomesh for a kapora. Can you bring the asham without paying the chomesh? That's one question. Second question is, the asham, there's a korban asham on a nishba l'sheker v'hoda. One paid the keren back, but the question is, does the chomesh, is that ma'akev the asham or not? That's one issue. The other issue would be, does the asham become a chiev? Does the chomesh become a chiev, which now, if you're still the chomesh, now you're going to be in the same pickle you were in the first place. You pay back the keren, but now you're chayev the whole thing for swearing that you didn't own the chomesh. So you're going to have to pay him a chomesh on a chomesh, and you have a new shvua l'sheker. Woo! This could go on ad infinitum, or not quite ad infinitum, because there comes a point at which it becomes less than a Shavu Pruta, so you can no longer carry king. So an Asham at that point, a Chomesh at that point, no longer could be Mechayev you a Chomesh, because now it's too small to be able to carry a Chomesh. Now, in that case, suppose you paid the Karen, but you didn't pay the Chomesh. Or maybe he was Mochel even on the Karen, which is just as good. Mochel on the Karen, but he wasn't Mochel on the Chomesh. Or he was Mochel on both. But he said, obviously, who else can be Mochel? Or he said, I'm mochel the whole thing except for, you have that pachos mishavah pruta shema, so it's less than a shavah pruta of the keren itself. In that case, eno tzarech lele kacharav, there is no chiyav of hashavah. And natan lo atachomesh, v'lonatan l'atkam. But the other way around, suppose you paid him for the chomesh, but not for the keren. Or makhalo l'chomesh v'lo makhalo l'keren. Or even if it was makhalo on both the chomesh and the keren, chutz v'shavaputa of the keren. So then, tzorech lelech acharav. Now, suppose he gave him back the keren, and he swears falsely that he'd already paid him back the chomesh. So he's nishbalo ala chomesh. So now he's got to pay a chomesh on the chomesh. Until now, that if you would give him the second one, and he keeps this up until such a time as the keren of the chomesh itself is going to be less. In other words, what he's swearing on would be less than a shavar pruta. However, we've shown him talk about where the chomesh itself would be pachas mishavar pruta, where it wouldn't be shayach. As a reminder, just as we wouldn't be shocked to pay. You can't pay less than a Shavar Pruta. And so in that case, you would also, up until that point, you would keep paying a Chomesh ala Chomesh ala Chomesh ala Chomesh would be Mechayev him each time, because that amount becomes the Keren. So it means until the new Keren would be less than a Shavar Pruta, according to that shot. Now, this is true, by the way, not only of Gizela. This is even true of a Hashava that you would have to do for a Pikadon. Shneamar, Oba Pikadon. Now, some don't have the gears of Shneamar, but rather just that the Mishnah says directly, this is true of Pikadon, or Betzomet Yad, or Begeza. All right. But our Mishnah has the Posik. Oh, so it says over here, Nefesh Kitechatam, Olava Shevekichesh Ba'amito, which is the Shlua Sheker, Pikadon, or Betzomet Yad, or Begazel, or Ashaket Amito. So in all of these cases, even though you didn't literally steal it, you might have gotten it as a pikadon, you might have gotten it as a halva'ar, you might have gotten it for money that you owe the guy for something that he did. Or even for matzah aveda, viki cheshba, v'nishba al sheker, the din over there is you have to pay on each case, b'shalim keren, v'chomesh, v'asham. Now, it's clear from the mission that this special din of hashava, to be molech acharav l'madai, is only if you made a shvua, because that's what it says. So apparently, if you hadn't done the Shvuah part, then you really wouldn't have been chayev for bringing it all the way back to Madai. So in that case, you could have really stopped, given it to somebody to hold until the guy comes. So nishba in lo nishba lo lo? Money, but whose shita is that? Lo Rebbe Tarfon, v'lo Rebbe Akiva. Nobody holds that. The Tanya. Gazal echad mi'chamisha. Somebody stole some money that belonged to one of five people. Eini yodea, he's not certain. Me'eze me'em gazal. He doesn't know which one of them was the owner of the money that he took. It was on the table. So what does he do? So over there we have a machlokas. Rebbe Tarfon says, me'niach gizela b'neem u'mistalek. Which doesn't mean, the Gemara says in Bav Metzia, which doesn't mean literally. He leaves it there and says, okay, boys, go kill each other. It means that basically he sets the money aside until it becomes clear who the owner is. So says Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo zo aderech motziato midei avera. Look, that's not a way to be mitakein what it is that you did, sir. You'd have to pay each and every one of those people. Now, neither Rabbi Tarfon nor Rabbi Akiva make a point of a shvua, okay? So now, but what's happening over here is that it shouldn't matter one way or the other. So mashma, whether you made the shvua, you didn't make the shvua, Rabbi Tarfon is perfectly happy for you to just set the money aside. So then, clearly, the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Tarfon. I mean, it's Rabbi Tarfon. Afag abde yishtaba. I mean, Rabbi Tarfon says, under all circumstances, you could simply be meniach gzeila b'neihem umistalek, and that would be sufficient. So that means it's not up to you to work out a way in which you were mitaken your avera, no matter what. In which, I mean, the Mishnah is saying, look, there's no compromises here. You want a tikkun, then a tikkun requires you to be mitaken. You can't say, but it's going to cost me five times as much to be mitakein. You know, it's not fair. Who got you into this place, into this in the first place? You did. So therefore, either you're mitakein or not. So Rabbi Tarfon apparently doesn't hold that. So Kibisha can't be Rabbi Tarfon. So if it's Rabbi Akiva, here Rabbi Akiva does not point to Dafka with a shvua. He's saying, Bechlal, a guy was geizel. He needs to be motzi atzma mide avira, and he's not being motzi atzma mide avira. It has nothing to do with the shvua. So afagav de lo yishtava. He says achi shalim zela kol achad v'achad. And I mean, there does not seem to be any real difference between this case of paying five times as much to make sure it gets to the guy, or paying five times as much to make sure it gets by FedEx to the guy. I mean, it's the same principle. You can't claim that because it costs you so much money, it's not up to you to take care of it. There's no such thing. That's very true. Tosfos points out that that's important, but not legabe our sugya. It's important legabe a stira that he asks from elsewhere, that there's an afkamina, when you know that four of them are liars. But legabe, the case over here, you're right. It's terrible. Why should I have... Okay, do you have a better idea? You want a tikkun, you don't want a tikkun. I'm telling you, you want to be motzi atzmo mide avera. You're saying, so I should give to a guy who's a liar? Okay, come up with a better idea. But they're not mechuyev to make a shvu. You're the one who's trying to find a way to be meishiv. In actuality, leyolam Rabbi Akiva. Look, it's true that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfa didn't mention the word shvua, but maybe that's the point. When was Rabbi Akiva saying achi shalim zela lekol echad v'echad? And Tosfos says there are other approaches, but Tosfos says the reason we take Rabbi Akiva is because we want the Mishnah to work the dafka like Rabbi Akiva, because after all, the din is that all of them are alibid Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir was alibid Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, we prefer Mishnah work out like Rabbi Akiva. So, I mean, we obviously have two approaches. We could either say that Rabbi Akiva was only talking about where there's a shvua, and that's consistent with the Mishnah, or we could say that Rabbi Tarfa was only talking about where it wasn't a shvua. But if there was a shvua, he too would have said that you have to pay whatever it costs you to find that kapara. And then it would be consistent with Rabbi Tarfa. So if we have a choice of which way to go, we prefer going with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so therefore we say that although Rabbi Akiva didn't mention it, he took for granted that you understood that Kika Amar Rabbi Akiva Achi Shalim Gizelava Kol Echad V'Echad, only in a case where Hecha the Ishtaba Hudika Amar. It's only because you made a shvua, and the reason for that is because of the additional chiyuv that the Torah gives for kapara, which is above and beyond the chiyuv of Hashavat Gezelah, my time. The Omar cross, since the Torah says, as continued in that sugya, the very next pasuk after the sugya of Nishba L'Sheker, that in such a case, La'asher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmato, the day that he starts feeling guilty about this, and wants to remove the sin, he better make sure he gets it to the guy. All right, so then that additional asher hulo, that din is kicks in this case of Nishba L'Sheker. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon says, I mean, because now we're making Rabbi Tarfon argue even in the case of Nishba, right? Because we're claiming that Rabbi Akiva was only referring to the case of Nishba, so obviously Rabbi Tarfon wasn't arguing about a different case. Which means that Rabbi Tarfon was saying, you're 100% right, theoretically. But this is a disaster because of the problems that are involved in getting something back to a person being mekayim in this in certain circumstances. Therefore, avud rabbana takanta, the rabbana made a takanata shavim, and they said that it would be enough, even in such a case, that you do not have to go and give it to a shliach beit din, and he can keep it. Now, Rashi, of course, understands this to be what the Mishnah was referring to. Tosfos says, no, this is a different din. The Mishnah was referring to the Shliach Beit Din being the guy who will get it back. And the value of the Shliach Beit Din is that Beit Din basically provides achrayut, that they will get it back. You don't have to worry about a problem on the road. This takana, says Tosfos, is a different takana. This takana is that the Beit Din becomes the representative of any victim, and in paying the Beit Din, you have done your duty and given back the gezeila. Now that obviously is a whole different idea. And that is a takana gedola, the Tani Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok Omer, takana gedola hitkino, was a very necessary takana for the shavim, that in such a case that you're having a problem getting back because it's going to cost you more than what you stole. So im haita haotza'a yetera la keren, if it's going to cost you more than the actual robbery, the gezeila, mishalim keren v'chomesh lebedin, all you need to do is pay the keren v'chomesh lebedin, and then you can already bring your karbon hashem. So you're mevi hashamo, and it would be mitchaper. Rabbi Akiva says, now wait a second, there is indeed such a takana. I'm not cholik that there's such a takana, but it doesn't cover this case where you stole from someone and you're getting it back to him. That's fine. But I'm talking about a case where you stole from someone, you don't know who he is. So what are you going to say? Bezda made a takana. Yeah, you don't have to know who he is. What is that supposed to mean? We can represent the victim, but we can't represent somebody that nobody knows who he is, can we? So therefore, ki ovad rabbanu takanta echad yad leman gazla. The Bezda could say, we will accept this for this individual. Great. But if you don't know who the individual is, over there, how can you do it? So this case where you're saying, you know what, here's the guy, here's his address, it's going to cost me so much money to get it there, you hold it for him. Fine. Over there, come out of Mamona Lamore. That makes sense. It's going to get, it gets back to him in terms of its being in Bezdin. Aval, in a case where Gozal Echad Michamisha, he took money and he doesn't know whose money it is. Over there, to Lo Yad Alaman Gaza, he has no idea who he stole it from, in which case, even if he gives it to Beit Din, Lo Hadar Mamona Lamore, the Beit Din can't really take it for someone unknown, can they? So in such a case, Lo Avid Rabbanu Takanta. So the machloket between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is whether the takana extends to this halacha. But technically speaking, Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's a takana. And technically speaking, Rabbi Tarfon agrees that without the takana, in a chinam, you would have to return it. And we're talking about in a case where you were nishba. Mosif Ravuna Bar Yehuda. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechleku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva. Al shalakach echad michamisha. Ve'in yodeim ezimim lakach. There is no such machloket unless you're talking about stealing. If you're talking about where you bought something, right? And now you can't remember who you owe the money to. There are five stores, one next to each other, and each one claims you bought it from them. In that case, Rabbi Akiva also agrees that you just set the money aside. You get out of there because you didn't do an iser. What were they arguing about? Only in a case where you stole it from one of five people. So over there, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, we got a problem. Because you see, as the Mishnah pointed out, there is no difference between Gezela, Tzomet Yad, Pikadon, whatever the case might be. So that, but of course, that pasuk is referring to a case where someone was Nishba B'Shekin. But you've claimed that the machlokets of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon wasn't a case where you were Nishba L'Sheker. But if it's a case where it's Nishba L'Sheker, who the heck cares how you owed the money? You swore you didn't owe the money. Once you swore you didn't owe the money, the whole din kicks in to be Meshiv L'Sher Ulo. So what nafkamina could it possibly be? If Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is saying that they're arguing, then only in that case of Gezela, it's got to be a function of the Gezela per se and not of a Shvua. But you said that it was talking only in a case where you were Nishba. Once you're Nishba, it doesn't matter why you owe the money, because the takona that you need to make was for the Shvua part. So if that's the case, Isak Adaita Ishtaba, you're claiming now the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is where he swore. So who cares? Ma'ali lakach, who cares whether he owed the money because he took it and needs to pay the storekeeper? Ma'ali gazal. That wasn't the point. The point wasn't the original iser. Furthermore, va'od masiv rava, ma'aseh b'chassid echad. It was a ma'aseh with a great chassid who took something from two people who were selling in the shuk. Mishnei b'nei adam, v'lo haya yodea mi'ez b'em lakach. He couldn't remember which one of them he had bought it from. U'balif de Rabbi Tarfon. Comes to Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says to him, no problem, you can just get out of it by putting aside the money there. Palifei Rabbi Akiva, oh, baby, you're in big trouble. Now, what are you trying to tell me? This is the classic machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. You're claiming that it's only a machlokas in a case where you're nishba. And obviously this argues with Shimon Elazar. Because Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Bechlal, there was no discussion between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in cases where he didn't steal the money. Over here, he didn't steal the money. Nonetheless, we still see there's a machlokas. So that is, as Rashi points out, this story of the Chassid Echad argues on the Braita that we just had. But the problem over here is that it also argues on our explanation of the Mishnah. Because, I mean, what's the case over here? You said that they only argued a case where he swore. But a chassid? You're telling me a case of a chassid echad who swore? L'sheker that already paid you. It's crazy. I mean, how could a guy who swears l'sheker be a chassid? I mean, not today, you know. So Isal Gadaita, the Mishtaba. What are you talking about over here that he had sworn? Chassid be Mishtaba b'shikra. I mean, how would a chassid swear falsely? So what do you mean? At the time that he swore falsely, he was a Rasha, then he became a chassid. I mean, who's to say he was a chassid at that time? What, we can't call a guy a chassid because today he's a chassid. And he's trying to do teshuva, it also is a chassid. So v'chi tema, maybe he'll say that yes, at that time he was a Rasha, and he was Mishtaba, and then he became a chassid. Vodar avi chassid. The problem is that we have a general klal that kol hechad aminan maaseh b'chassid achad. Wherever we quote a story of a particular chassid, it's either a reference to Rav Yehuda ben Bava or a reference to Rav Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloy. Now the thing is that Rav Yehuda ben Bava and Rav Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloy, we know historically, were always chassid. They were never rishayim; they became chassid. So therefore, you can't use that teretz either, because all Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloy chassidim demikara have it. There was never a time that they would have been nishba l'sheker. Therefore, your pshat in the Mishnah breaks down because you're claiming Rabbi Akiva is only saying that you have to do this in a case of shvua. And turns out that Rabbi Akiva is saying you have to do it in a case of non-shvua. But our Mishnah says you only have to do it in a case of shvua. So how could the Mishnah be going only to Rabbi Akiva? Therefore, what we'll have to take is the other approach. Actually, it's Rabbi Tarfon. The Mishnah is going only to Rabbi Tarfon. Ah, you'll say, but Rabbi Tarfon said, you don't need to pay extra money. You just set it aside. Ah, that's because you weren't nishtabeah. The Mishnah is talking about where you did take a shvua. Now you're coming to be mitakein. In that case, Rabbi Tarfon is indeed the author of the Mishnah. And he's moda, hecha de ishtaba, that you got to give it back to him, afilo labadai, if there are five people, you got to pay all five, my taima, the omar krola asher olo yetnenu, biyom ashmato. Got to give it back to him, I don't care what the issue is. And whereas Rabbi Akiva says, afagav de lo mishtaba. Kamis, Rabbi Akiva says, a guy who does something wrong, I mean, he's got to be metakenet. I don't care if he went ahead and he swore or not. Rabbi Tarfon, let me understand Rabbi Tarfon. Micht, I mean, looking at this mission, it says nishba, which means dafka nishba. And we said that's Rabbi Tarfon Shita. So you're telling me that echad de mishtaba, I mean, it said the Farish in the Mishnah, and obviously that's the base of the Pasuk, Nishba v'hoda. It's only because you were moda. Because there it says, v'itvaduat chatatam, that's the makor of v'idui v'hoda. So now you're saying that dafka, it's lo sagi de lo hoda, right? It's not because the guy swore, that's not enough, it's because he swore and was baited. And now he's trying to be mitakein. What is that he swore? The problem is, so then if you're talking about because of a hoda'ah, then what do you need the shvuah for? The issue over here is takana. The guy is coming for a kapar. So you're telling me you only need the kapar if you make a shvuah? I mean, I understand that the case that the Torah uses as a model for kapara is where you made a shvua. But, I mean, Rabbi Tarfon himself, I mean, but afilo b'lo shvua nami, t'tanya moda Rabbi Tarfon, where a guy walks over to two people, and he says to two people, gazalti echad mechem, I did steal from one of you guys, I don't know which one it was, ve'eni yodea ezi mechem, that in such a case, noten lezemon ve'lezemon shekvar odami piatzmo, since he's coming over here to be metaken his meisim, even though obviously, as I said before, Bezdin can't be Machayev a person. But, I mean, if a person wants to be Metaken, it's chet. I agree, of course, to be Metaken, you're chet. You can't say, well, I'm not going to pay double. Look, nobody asked you to go stealing. I mean, you want to be Metaken, you have to know you were Metaken. That I agree. But if that's what we're talking about, then why does the Mishnah talk about a Shvua? It should just talk about someone who's Moda. The Shvua is irrelevant. So that the whole approach is simply not working. Ella, you're right. Throw the whole thing out. So everything that we've been talking about, the relevance, the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, it's not an issue. The Mishnah isn't nogea that machlokas. The machlokas, remember, is in a case where you don't know. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, indeed, are arguing about a case where you don't know, makes it an afkamina with a shvua, without a shvua, because we're basically dealing with the question of the din, not the takona. What's Bezdin going to be now? Mechayev you. Rabbi Tarfon says, we can't be Mechayev you if you don't know who it is. Rabbi Akiva says that you're Chayev. Nothing to do with taking a shvua at all. So you're saying, So if that's the case, Rabbi Akiva didn't make an afkamina between a shvur and not a shvur. What does that have to do with it? Where we're talking about over there, since you don't know who you stole from, Rabbi Akiva says, how can you be mekayim hashavas and a gezela without knowing who you stole from? Of course you're not going to be yotze unless you give it back to him. The Mishnah, you do know who you stole from. At that point, you know, the moment that you're made, that you're mechuyev to give it back to him. And at that point, kivan de efshel aduri mamon alamare. Havelei kamanda amarle, yuli biadeka. The moment that you know who a guy is, and you're made, so at that point, you become now a holder of the money for him. In other words, in your mind, this money is set aside to pay him back. So as far as Hashava is concerned, the money's waiting for you. That is fine. That's not fine if you don't know who it is. Because, I mean, you're not telling anybody, hey, the money's waiting for you, just come anytime you want, it's there for you. You'll give it to me? No, of course not. I don't know it's you. Thank you very much. So in other words, you're not going to give me back my money. Well, I don't know it's your money. All right, go speak it over with the Lord. Okay, so there Enoch Inami, says Rabbi Akiva. I mean, obviously I can't hold it for a pikadon for a non-known person, just like we made the nafkamina in Beis Din. So, but if you know him, and that's the case in our Mishnah, so then it's as if you gave him a telephone call, and he told you, suppose he would tell you, okay, keep it till I can pick it up. Wouldn't that be okay? Of course it is. In terms of the actual chiyuv of Hashava, yes. So the omer le'yuli bi'adecha. It's as if the guy told you, keep it for me. So therefore, the Mishnah is making an afkamina. If you went ahead and you went and you took a shvua nishpa, over there, there's a new chiyah of getting it back to the guy without which there's no kapora on your shvua. So over there, afagav the ka'amal, even the guy would have said, it's okay, hold it for me. See, afagav the ka'amal, yuli biyadecha. Kivan de boy kapara lo sagi adamati liyadei. Part of the seder of the kapora that the Torah was b'chayev you is not only the carbon and not only the chomesh, but the actual delivery of the gezela. And therefore, you do not have a kapora. But indeed, it's true that halo ishtaba, if you hadn't taken that shvuah, and that's why the Mishnah is so focused on shvuah, which is true, alibit Rabbi Tarfon and alibit Rabbi Akiva. If you made a shvuah, in that case, you got a problem for bringing your asha. But halo ishtaba, if you never made a shvuah, so then havigabe pikadon adaati v'shakele. It's as if you're holding it for him until he comes and gets it from you. The machlokas Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon has nothing to do with the Mishnah. Because the machlokas is in a case where you are not keeping it for anybody, because you're not going to give it to anybody. So how can you claim you're keeping it for somebody? In that case, there's a machlokas. What is the chiyuv of hashava to the unknown individual? Do you have to pay five times as much money because you're going to have to cover everything and make sure? Or can you say, well, when we find out, then he can have it? Okay, that's a completely different issue. It has nothing to do with the shvuah problem in Aramaic. Rivkana Yoiv Zuza Kitna, the Sophi Yakir Kitna Zavdi Marvata the Kitna, Atilakami Dirav. Omale, well, what should I do? Mayavid, is it a shtaka Zuza or not? Omale, it depends. Iki Kazavdi Amre Hakitna the Kahana, who said that it's your money, it's your shkol. The Ilo Lotishkol. Now, what's the sense in Rav's Psak? Come on. Kivneima Ravad Amre, only Miudio Lubala Chitin, Shiakne Chitin Lubala Maot. I mean, what's that have to do with our case? Sotomi Yoiv Rav Kahana, Arba Veshokal Tmane. He bought Kitna, Kitna Mamelo Diakir. So what are you saying? That the broker stole it. Okay, fine, the broker stole it. Mixel Gazlua. But Tanan Kola Gazlonim Shamim Gishata Gzela anyway. Now, the case was, it was an Amanah. Now this is Rav Lataimi, the Omer Rav. You can do an amanah only on the actual commodity, but ain't no sin amanah where you're just playing with electronic figures, where it's just dummy. Hagozelat chaviro shava pruta v'nishbalo yolechenu acharav afilu lemadai lo yitein lo livno velo neshlucho avonotein leshliach beitin v'imet yachzir liyoshav natan lo at hakeren velo natan lo at hachomesh machalo al hakeren velo machalo al hachomesh. Or machalo even alzev alzev, except for a shavar pruta worth of the keren. Tzarech leilech acharav. Natan lo at hakeren v'nishbalo al hachomesh. Whoops, arei ze mishalem chomesh al hachomesh. And this keeps on going ad sheyitma'et hakeren mishavar pruta. וכן בפיקדון, שנאמר או בפיקדון או בצומת יד או בגזל או השקט, עמיתו או מצא עבידה וכיחש בה ונשבע על שקר. הרי זה משלם קרן וחומש and has to bring a carbon ocean. נשבע לו, says the Mishnah, דווקא, but לא נשבע לו לא. Money, לא רבי תאפה ולא רבי עקי, ונתניה גזל לכם מחמישה, ואיני יודע את מי גזל, איזה מהם, וכל אחד אומר אותי גזל, מניח גזלה ביניהם ומסתלק, ורבי תאפה, רבי עקי, ואומר, לא זו הדרך מוציאתו מדי עבירה, עד שישלם גזלה לכל אחד ואחד, דמוני. אם רבי תאפה, I mean, he didn't say anything about שבוע, so it משמע, אף אגב, די השתבע, also he would have amar miniach gizela b'neim amistalek. If it's Rabbi Akiva, he seems to say you got to pay everybody off a gav de lo yishtav amar shishalem gizela kol achav v'yachad. Le'olam Rabbi Akiva hi v'chikom Rabbi Akiva ad shishalem gizela kol achav v'yachad. Indeed is hechad yishtavahu dekama. Why? The amar kral asher hu lo yitzdenu b'yom hashmato. So Rabbi Tarfon, he says it's true theoretically, but Af agav dishtaba avud rabbanan takanta that allows him to get out of that chiyuv. The Tanya Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok omer takana gedola hitkino shimaita hotzaa yetera lakeren mishalem keren v'chamish lebeit din, and then he can go right ahead and bring mevi ashamo umetchaper lo. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says that takona give rabbanan takanichat yona laman gazlei, because at least over there kamana lebamona lamori aval gazal echad mechamisha delo yoda laman gazlei. We're giving it to Besdin. It's not really returning it to anyone in particular. Over there, look, you don't remember to pay. But if you did it this or you stole, Veino yodei beizvim gazal, over there, Rabbi Tarfon, and you have to make Zela, but it was like Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Imer. Nope, in that case, they know the Katakaraj, Yishalim Zela, Kol Echad V'Yachad. Now, obviously, that means that they're not arguing in a case where there was a Shvua, because Isak, that was Tishtabah. So what difference would it make? Mali Lakach, Mali Gazal, the reason you got to get the money back is because of Chiva, the Shvua. ועוד מעשיב רובע, מעשה בחסיד אחד שלקח משני בני אדם ולא יודע מאיזה אם לקח, comes to Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, you made a purchase, just be מניח במקחה ביניהם ונסתלק. Comes to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, no, how can you do that? אין לך תקנת שתשלם לכל אחד ואחד. Now obviously they were arguing even though there was no שבועה, because he sees a tzadik ומשתבה. I mean, the case would make no sense. Well, Chosid originally was Mishtaba, but Shikra, it's ridiculous. V'chiteima, maybe at the time he wasn't a Chosid in Mishtaba, and then he became a Chosid. No, because Kol Echad, Amina Maaseh B'chasid Echad, it's either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloy. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloy were always Chosidim, Mikorahav. Eloli Yolam Rabbi Tarfani. Let's go back then. The mission is now a Libet Rabbi Tarfon, except that Rabbi Tarfon is made it. And in the case of the mission was Mishtabea, then you got it, get it back to him. My time never can let Shirley turn to be a mashmato. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, he says, doesn't matter. I forgot the lo mishtaba. It's still, we're kainis him to make sure that he pays back what he stole. So what? It's Rabbi Tarfon, michti. I mean, hechen mishtaba lo sagi, the lo hoda. The mission is saying the only time you're chayav is with hoda. Why? My arim v'nishba. So then you don't need the shvua. Feel about shvua nami. The tiny murder Rabbi Tarfon. Bo'omer l'shalayim gazalti achad b'chem. So over there, he's murder on the mana. Any of the days he b'chem. There, of course, not. Tein l'zeh mana v'lezeh mana. I mean, why? Shekvar hoda b'piatz. Money's trying now to be yotzi is chiyav. So even though Besdin can't be mechayvim, he still has to pay. Elom harav shayne matnitin dekiven diyada l'man gazle v'odile kiven di efshila adurim amon l'more. Over there, it's fine. Because over there, Avile command Yomala Yulu Biodecha. So only in a case where you went ahead now and were Nishba, where there's not enough. Because even if the guy would say it's enough, it's not enough. I forgot the Gomala Yulu Biodecha. Since the Torah was Bechayev, you hear the Korban Hashem, you want your Kapora. So given the boy Kapora, Lo Sagi Adamotuli Yode. But if you weren't Mishtaba, so they didn't have Finami. It would be a Pikada Nadasi Vishakule. But in the case where I'm arguing with Rabbi Tarfon, we don't know who it is that you could possibly hold against a pikadon over there. Indeed, we're